And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, here we are in the height of Elihu's message to Job, right at the top. So far, he's been imparting wisdom to him. He's been setting up one theological argument after another to show that Job has fallen off the trusting God train. In verse 16, he mentions that God has led Job away from danger, giving him freedom. How many times has the Lord delivered you and me from certain destruction, and we didn't even realize it because it was based on his grace and mercy that he protected us? Many of you know my story. God saved me from certain death at least three times that I know of. And next, Elihu then brings up a point which is extremely valid for you and me today. He just says you're too obsessed with the judgment on the godless. In other words, he's saying you're so focused on the difficulty and you're getting so upset about why the guy next to you doesn't get it, not getting his just due. And the challenge that Elihu brings is why we're focused on that. We mentioned that last week. He mentioned it again. So he brings it up twice because Job needs to hear it twice, like many of us do. And finally, here's a portion that everybody's going to want to cross out of their Bibles, but you can't do it. Can't do it. We're told to be on guard and turn back from evil because it was God who sent suffering into our lives to prevent us from going down the path of true evil and separation from him. Man, that doesn't make us feel good, but man, it proves God really does care.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. Yep, right now. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. That's the text. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Amazing Jen. Amazing Jen. Amazing.
Amazing.
Jen. There you go. Well, see, you had a perfect record right up until there.
I'm training.
Oh. Are you trying to say you're working while you're doing the show?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know, talking to Jennifer is like heading into the week with great faith and expectation. There you go. That makes up for it. You don't have to worry about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Yeah, it's your guys' fault. You listen to the show. I don't tell you guys to listen. It's your fault. Okay, here it is in a nutshell. You can call us. You can contact us. You can email us. You can do anything. You can send smoke signals. You can send an airplane with a little banner behind it. You can throw a rubber ball and put a note on it. You can do any of those things. Reach out to us. If you've got a prayer request, let's pray about it. If you've got a praise report, let's hear it so that others can be blessed. When people share praise reports and you hear them, it creates trust in people's hearts towards the Lord. I mean, how cool is that? So there's great ways to go about these things. There's great ways to encourage one another. Here's what you got to catch up on. Here's what you got to figure up on. If you've got a prayer request, bring it. A praise report, bring it. or knowledge of Bible trivia, bring it. To whom did Elijah give his cloak? To whom did Elijah give his cloak? Was it Elisha? Was it Samuel? Or was it Jacob? Hey, that's the two in a row we've had with Jacob in it. That's pretty funny, since it's Jacob who's training. That's good. All right, bottom line is, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Any of those ways you can get a hold of it. The question is, to whom did Elijah give his cloak? Was it Elisha, Samuel, or Jacob? Your answer, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. Give us a holler. Let us know what you think. Okay. I have to take this opportunity because the Lord reminded me of this, and so it's just this perfect spot in this element. And we've taught on this before, but this just, there's one thing I haven't shared with you, so I want to share it with you from a personal point of view. In Job chapter 36, when we're looking at verse 16, it says, God has led you away from danger, giving you freedom. Can you imagine? God has led you away from danger, giving you freedom. So let me share with you how this has happened to me and how you'll understand that without these three things, you wouldn't be here in this show. The first thing was when my friend Stuart and I were high on drugs and had robbed a house and had a gun and we had made a pact to kill ourselves. And I took the gun and put it up against my head and said, see you in the next life, Stuart, if there is one. And just as I pulled back the trigger fully, a car comes jamming up into the sky, 20 feet straight into the air off of an embankment at West Hills Junior High School at 17 Mile and Middle Belt in Bloomfield Hills, in Michigan. And I just sat there and looked at the car and it came down, boom, 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 boom. And then another car 10 seconds later, right up behind it, boom, 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 boom. So Stuart and I are mesmerized. We walk outside of the area we're in. It was called the pit in this little forest area. And we're looking, and I'm walking out. I still have the gun pressed up against my head. Turned out that there were guys on the field at the school doing donuts, and the car behind them was the janitors. And the janitors were chasing them. And then when that other car sped out, the janitors, you know what they did? They stopped their car, and they knew who we were because we used to do partying. And they said, what are you doing, Dave? And I said, I'm going to kill myself. And they said, why? Well, there's no reason to live, I said. They said, well, let us talk to you for a little while. And then if you want to kill yourself, you can go ahead and do that. And they talked Stuart and I down from taking our lives. Now, don't tell me that's not a deliverance from death. Another time I was in Scottsdale, Arizona, Paradise Valley, but Scottsdale, Arizona, hanging out with Corwin and TK Dixon. And TK has reached out to me a few times on Facebook when I was on Facebook and had some problems there with their mom, and they had some problems there with their father-in-law, who was maybe not the best person in the world. And so she started yelling at me this one particular time. I yelled back at her. She said some really nasty things to me. I said some really things nasty to her. She came back out of her bedroom with a gun loaded, saying, get out of my house or shoot me, or I'll shoot you. And I said a whole bunch of things I can never say on the air. But I said, go ahead. Corwin came into the room. He grabbed her arm, took the gun out of her hand, and started yelling at both of us to get to be there to understand. And he was like, "Well, you guys you're insane, right?" That kind of thing. Then another time. Now I'm a Christian, right? So I got two that are non-Christian. Now I'm a Christian. And we're just talking about God has led us away from danger. I'm driving down the road, taking Joshua to the hospital. Beardsley Road, Union Hills Road. Well, it's so late in the morning, it doesn't matter. No light, no street lights, just an actual like a traffic light, but no street lights along the road. I start driving, I hit the brakes instantly. Okay, like instantly hit the brakes. 1 second later, a car comes barreling through, no lights on, 65 miles an hour straight through the intersection. If I had gone, bam. What is that? That's leading us away from danger. Do you know how many times God has saved you? Think about this. It's more than you know because you don't know every time. Those are just three that I know. There's probably a couple others that I could probably review. God, in his graciousness, leads us away from death and danger because he has a purpose. And he saves us. And some of you out there, God has done that too. You don't even recognize it. A time that you should have died, that this should have happened. You think that's an accident that you're still here? Wrong. There's purpose, there's plan to the things that the Lord does. And he loves you so much, he won't let that happen to you. What's bizarre is I tried to kill myself, somebody else threatened to kill me, and then somebody certainly would have killed me, wouldn't even known it. But God said nay to all three. Just think of that. Wow. All right, I'm going to answer the trivia question, then we'll take our break. The trivia question was, to whom did Elijah give his cloak? Was it Elisha, Samuel, or Jacob? And the answer is Elisha. Elijah gave it to Elisha. That is the answer. All right, folks, we'll take a break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Who hid the two spies sent by Joshua to Jericho? Who hid the two spies sent by Joshua to Jericho? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Whom hid the two spies sent by Joshua to Jericho? Who was it? In the meantime, because we've been really off target the last couple of weeks, I want to get a couple, at least two, very quick jokes in. Okay? So when we do jokes, and what Jacob is being trained on by Jennifer right now is whether they're funny or not, whether how they respond to it or not. So he's going to get his first taste of two jokes starting off right here. Might as well just get used to it. It's what we're doing. It's not going to change as of right this second. Here's joke number one. At the beginning of math class, the teacher asked Timmy, what are 3, 6, 27, and 45? What are 3, 6, 27, and 45? Timmy quickly answered, Newsmax, Comedy Channel, The Weather Channel, and Cartoon Network. I approve of that sound effect. That's a good one there. All right, here's another one. Ready? Three friends were walking home from school. What should we do this afternoon? Said the first. I know, said the second. Let's flip a coin. If it comes down heads, we'll go skating. If it comes down tails, we'll go swimming. And if it comes down on its edge, said the third, then we'll go do our homework.
No!
Okay. That is pretty funny. That was a good one. All right. Good job on the sounds. All right. Who hid two spies sent by Joshua to Jericho? So this is somebody hiding spies in Jericho. Okay. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? We do have somebody getting ready to answer the trivia question. So make sure it's they haven't called before, and we'll make sure that we're on track for it. And they will have the opportunity to answer. We're finding out right now as I stall live on the air because I'm really good at it. I'm good at stalling. It's, you know, stall. Anyhow, in the meantime, the question is straightforward. What is our question? What are we asking? Oh, yeah. Who hid the two spies sent by Joshua to Jericho? Okay, you ready for an answer? Yep, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Willie Williams.
Hello, how are ya?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
All right, you ready for this one? This is a good question, so get ready. Here we go.
Okay.
Who hid the two spies sent by Joshua to Jericho?
Oh, that was Rahab.
That is correct, Amundo! Right you are! And then she was honored. Remember what portion of the New Testament she was in?
the New Testament.
Yeah, New Testament. But, first chapter of Matthew. What did they talk about? The very first chapter of Matthew. This person begat this person, begat this person, begat this person.
That was a genealogy.
That is correct. I'm going to do again. You're right. Ah, perfect. Excellent. See, that's excellent that you knew that. See, the Lord used a virgin, but also a prostitute to bring about the birth.
Yes.
There you go. He uses everybody, right?
Right, yes.
Excellent job. Very, very good. Very, very good. Is there anything we can pray for you about?
I started a new ministry at my church, and it's a senior ministry, and I'd like prayer for that ministry. It's called Senior Life, and it's a SAGE ministry.
Okay.
And I would like prayer for that to be successful.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll define success as everything God wants from it.
Right. Uh-huh.
Good enough?
Right.
Let's pray.
Right. Uh-huh.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up our dear sister and ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bless the work of her hands in ministry in the kingdom of God. Lord, what we're asking for you to do is expand your kingdom through her and use her to encourage others, to lift those others up, and to herself be blessed while it's taking place, to enjoy the ministry and working in partnership with you, and to help advance your kingdom to your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Great phone call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Okay. Great job. Here we go. On to it. See? Just got to keep it moving. Okay. Some of these things that I like to teach, they're really easy. And some of these things that I teach are not really easy. So... Let's think of which this one might be if I'm telling you that ahead of time. Okay, here is what the next portion of the verse says. Verse 17, it says this: right after God has led you away from danger, given you freedom, you have prospered in a wide and pleasant valley, but you are too obsessed with judgment on the godless. Don't worry, justice will be upheld, but watch out, or you may be seduced with wealth. Don't let yourself be bribed into sin. Could all your wealth and mighty efforts keep you from distress? Do not long for the cover of night, for when it is when people will be destroyed. So I want you to catch something. The Lord is communicating to Job through Elihu, and he's not going to spend a gazillion hours telling him things that kind of Job knows. Here's what Job needs to understand. One, the Lord has prospered Job in a wide and pleasant valley. In fact, the scripture says he was the richest man in the East. So I don't think it's hard for us to say that dude was like, he was jamming. He was loaded. He was doing great, right? But his argument against Job, Elihu's argument by the Lord is you're just too obsessed with everybody and everything else. You're going through a terrible trial, Job. It's really a terrible bragging, but you don't understand that. And you're sitting there looking at everybody and everything else. And think about this. When we go through trials or we go through something hard and it's difficult, is that the time that you turn to the Lord and go, I've been good? Why am I going through this? Why doesn't that person go through the same kind of stuff I go through? Why isn't it harder on them? Why is it so hard on me? What have I done? Do we say that? Because when we say that, what we're doing is, first of all, missing the whole point. Second of all, doing a decent amount of complaining. And third, what we're telling God is, you're unjust. It doesn't seem fair. We're so hooked on other people and what they're getting, because by golly, it's all going to be fair. I'm going to make it really easy for you. Life's not fair. Get over it, because it ain't going to change. You want to know why it ain't fair? Because mankind in his brilliance And his sinfulness has created more disasters than you can shake a stick at. And you know what the truth is? Sin isn't fair. That's the truth. So then what do you do? Well, you stop focusing on what other people aren't getting when you're going through hard times. And you reset your mind to focus on what is right. And that is going back to this dumb principle that people think we're really stupid for, and that is to trust that God has it covered. And not everything you and I go through is going to get an immediate answer from God as to why we're going through it. That's, I think, the thing that irritates most people most, right there. You go through different things and you go, why me? And what happened when Ziggy in the cartoon said, why me? God pointed back and said, why not? You understand? Sometimes you just got to look up and go, yes, Lord. And so in verse 17 of Job 36, you're too obsessed with judgment on the godless. Don't worry. Justice will be upheld. It's funny because in the entire woke industry, all they're trying to do is come up with this answer to the solution of being so obsessed that everybody else isn't getting it. You know, they're not getting poked in the eye. That's all they care about. None of these people reflect Jesus who at the cross said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. None of these people reflect the heart of God who, through the blood of Jesus Christ, Abel's blood screamed out justice. Jesus' blood screamed out forgiveness. Nobody. And even those that profess to be ministers or religious people or whatever, absolute baloney lie all the way through. They reflect nothing of God. If God judged everybody according to their sin, we would all be vanished right now. You wouldn't even be alive. And if he paid you back for everything you ever did wrong, you wouldn't survive the first penalty. It's not about retribution or payback or anything. It's about grace and mercy, kindness and love in places that you can't get it anywhere else. And if we're going to reflect God and do it in the name of God, we better be using a whole lot of that since he's been giving us a whole lot of it in our lives. Right? Right. All right, we will take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
So there's teaching in the church. Most of you, if you're familiar with the shepherding movement, just so you can know, Bob Mumford and Derek Prince, people who were influential in the church, came up with this idea of the shepherding movement, that the shepherd is responsible for the people, and because the shepherd is responsible for the people, the shepherd should have authority to help them make decisions in life. Initially, the idea is good in the sense of making good decisions, moral decisions, so on and so forth, but it quickly grew into abuse where people were making decisions about relationships, jobs, locations of living, how much they were giving, the whole nine yards, okay? Pastor Ken was a huge fan of the shepherding movement. He just didn't know it was called the shepherding movement. He just liked the control. So he would say to us, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You can't speak against me. It's okay that you took down the rabbi, but you can't do that to me. I'm going to read you a scripture. I'm going to show you where the error is so that everybody can understand how deep the fallacy goes. This comes out of Psalm 105, and this is verse 8. And I'm going to show you something that a lot of people won't show you because they don't understand the word context. Verse 8 in Psalm 105, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, then confirmed it to Jacob, to Israel. To who? To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan and the portion of your inheritance, when they were only a few in people. Very few and strangers in it. and they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. In context, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm is all the people of Israel. And God was telling all these different Gentile nations, don't touch my people. Don't touch my people. You touch my people, you're going to be in trouble. Bad, bad, bad. Don't do that. I'll blow you up. I mean, this is like that kind of thing. And what the pastors have done is they've taken that verse out of context, even though it refers to the people of God. And you think, well, wait, are you telling me it's not the leaders? Touch not my anointed one. Christ means anointed one. Christians is anointed ones. Specifically, that passage is about people who don't believe in God touching God's people. That's exactly what it's got nothing to do with a pastor by himself. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your next trivia question. After that, I'm going to launch into the send you to the website, then launch into our DNA. So we got a couple things to do in front of that. Okay, here it is. In which building is brick mentioned in the Bible for the first time? Is it in the Ark, the Tower of Babel, or the Temple? The Ark, the Tower of Babel, or the Temple? If you think you know, you can reach out to us and call. What can you call? 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website and just tell you one more time, $142 in giving last week. Yikes. Guess what? We can't do anything with that. So if you can give, that's great. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
I'm feeling very pinkish. See, because it's right.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, see? That was a good one right there. Hey, I didn't use the what is that, the Corning? Don't they, isn't there a commercial where the Pink Panther does the thing for the insulation?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, the attic insulation.
Yeah, that's right. Don't forget that one. Okay. In which building is brick mentioned in the Bible? Is it the Ark? Now, wait, can you imagine an Ark built with bricks? I mean, come on, people. Think that through. The Tower of Babel or the Temple? Which one would that be? 972-445-0770. You also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. We're going to do our DNA. Amazing Jen has offered to step up to the plate here, and here we go. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Every time. Every day. Let me say it different. Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. That's it. That's all. You don't need any more now. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say, even if the world tries to make you ashamed. They don't got a heaven to put you in. What do you care? And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM. It's not just a movie title. OPM is Other People Matter. And what that means is that if you just focus on your life the entire time you're living your life is going to be very dry. But if you care about others and take others as a part of your life, you will find out that there is a great variety that's added to your life. And it is not a coincidence that when we help others, endorphins in our brain go, because that's part of the design that God created mankind in that releases endorphins when we're helping other people. It's like, you can't change that. It'd just be good if we operated it. That would be the good part. Okay? In which building is brick mentioned in the Bible for the first time? Is it the Ark, the Tower of Babel, or the Temple? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I want to say thank you to Jennifer for filling in and doing a fantastic, amazing job. Very, very good. Very good. And then also thank you for Jacob for just sitting there going, what am I getting into?
Yes, he's questioned that many times already.
What am I doing? Okay, anyway. Yep, don't forget to pray for our brother D. We love brother D. Here we go. Next portion of text. This is worse than last week, and last week I thought was bad. This is worse, what we're going to get into. So last week, if you guys remember it all, you know, we found out that the Lord, in verse 8 of Job 36, if trouble comes upon him and they're afflicted, he takes the trouble to show them the reason, to show them their sin. This text is much worse. Much worse. This is verse 21. Be on guard. Okay, be on guard. Sounds like you have a sword or something. Turn back from evil. For it was to prevent you from getting into a life of evil that God sent this suffering. Okay, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home now. Do you understand? Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, be on guard, turn back from evil, for it was to prevent you from getting into a life of evil that God sent this suffering. I love the people in the positive gospel realm who say, well, God would never send anything bad or send suffering. He doesn't send it because he is bad. He sends it so it'll keep you from becoming bad. And so people just don't understand the theology of it, and it's not even complex. God does stuff like that to help us. The laws of God are not there to restrict you from having fun.
The laws are there just to keep us from having a good time.
When I had that chance to counsel that gentleman who had committed adultery, he looked me right in the eye as he was weeping and breaking down, saying, those laws, if we had followed those laws, if I had followed those laws, I would not have created all the pain that I'm living in. That's what they're there for. And so God allows sufferings to be sent to us to keep us from going down roads that just the bad road. Bad place to go. And I know nobody, that doesn't sound fun. Nope. But what it shows is that the level of love that God has for you is so deep that he's not going to let you get away with greasy grace, and he's not going to let you get away with flowers and cupcakes and Skittles and rainbows. But in fact, so that you don't end up in a life of rebellion, he will allow things into your life to pull you back into line. Because what happens when you and I go through a tough time and there's suffering involved and we have to, you know, push through it? What do we do as Christians when it's difficult upon us? We seek the Lord and say, what? But you see, you're missing it. We seek the Lord. He brings us to him. He pulls us to him. Now, unfortunately, when we do seek the Lord, many of us go, what's the deal, man? Okay, I agree. That's probably wrong. But the idea that we have to seek the Lord because of what we're going through isn't the wrong part. It's our attitude. And when we seek the Lord, like demanding an answer because it doesn't seem just regarding what we're going through. You're missing it. It's not a matter of seeming just to you or to me or to anybody else. It's God pulling you in. And it's difficult for us to grasp that because, well, can't he just pull me in by letting me win the lotto? Here's the answer. No. Sorry. I know you want me to say yes, but no, that's really not how he pulls you in. That doesn't mean it's not how he blesses you. I'm saying it's just not how he pulls you in. He pulls you in and you have to draw in closer and closer and closer. And what do you find out as you draw closer and closer and closer? I think you know that as you discover more and more about yourself in the face of God, that you realize how much more you need him, even more than you thought. but it is God's mercy and grace that allows suffering to be sent to us to pull us away from what separates us from God and closer into God. I know nobody likes that message. That's the same thing C.S. Lewis said. Nobody likes this message. Yeah, but it didn't mean he was wrong when he was teaching it, did it? So this call from the Lord and these things that are allowed, and even in Job's process, don't you realize, of course, Job was going to do good for chapters 1 and 2. It's chapters 3 through 31 that he fell through the crack. And God knew he was going to fall through the crack, and he was going to use it to teach him. As good as Job was, he wasn't where he needed to be. As righteous as Job was, he wasn't where he needed to be. He even made brilliant statements. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Brilliant statement. He just didn't live in that. And so sometimes what the Lord will allow pulls us to the King. Just think about this. If God didn't pull you closer and you didn't draw into him and you didn't understand that it is in his presence and in your relationship with him that you find all these answers, then why are you going to heaven? Heaven is not about you getting a Jetson-style mansion with a cool flying car and a robot dog. It's about spending eternity with God. And if you're not going to enjoy that now, the heaven will be hell for you. Uh-oh. Dave, stop with this philosophy stuff. It's not philosophy. This is what I didn't write this book. I'll read it again. Be on guard. Turn back from evil, for it was to prevent you from getting into a life of evil that God sent this suffering.
Well, that's just your interpretation.
And so is C. Dick Run. C. Jane Run. That's my interpretation, too. Thank you. Okay? All right. In answer to the trivia question, which building of brick is mentioned in the Bible for the first time? Was it the Ark, the Tower of Babel, or the Temple? The answer is the Tower of Babel was the first place it was mentioned. Thank you very much. Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me, like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew, you guys like that one, huh? I like that. I can tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15, here's the reason. Verse 18, Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about, you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We're getting ready for our last trivia question and then history. So we're still going to do history. Ready for that? Okay. I'm just checking in with Amazing Jen, who's done an amazing job. There you go. All right. First, the triv question. See if you guys can get the last one. Here we go. When God sent an angel to protect Daniel, where was he? When God sent an angel to protect Daniel, where was he? And please don't say in a CBS or ABC studio. Okay, when God sent an angel to protect Daniel, where was he? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us simply by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. This is Daniel. Where was Daniel? When the angel was sent to protect Daniel, when God sent an angel to protect Daniel, where was he? That's the question. Where was Daniel? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Okay, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I am doing great, Gary. How you doing?
Well, I'm going to keep praying. Just keep praying.
And we're going to keep praying for you, so that's okay. All right, here we go. Here we go, brother. I have a feeling you're going to get this one. We've actually had a couple of wrong answers, so I want to get it right. When God sent his angel to protect Daniel, where was he?
He was in the lion's den.
That is correct, Amundo! He was in the lion's den. That is right-a-roni. Rice-a-roni. That is right-a-roni. Something like that. Very good. All right, let me pray over you, my brother, but that's an excellent job. Let's pray. Father, I lift up my brother Gary and ask you to bless him. We're asking for the same prayer. Same prayer. And we're going to keep praying it. We're going to keep knocking. We're going to keep asking. We're going to keep seeking. And so that it gets answered, it gets opened, and that we get the response we're looking for, we ask you to bring healing power into Gary's life. Heal his body. Heal him from top to bottom, inside out, by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you are Jehovah Rapha, because by your stripes we are healed, Jesus. We are asking for healing to touch his body in and out, all over, so that he can testify to the healing power of God and people can hear and praise you, Lord. We lift this up and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. And I prayed for all of you yesterday, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
Okay. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. There's our brother Gary. Always. Gary is always right. So the question was, where was Daniel when the angel rescued him? He was in the lion's den. The lion's den. All right. We're going to do history, and then we're going to close it out on Job. So let's do our history sound.
Let's go live.
All right, for those that are really interested, today is National Doodle Day. I don't know what to do with that.
You doodle.
You doodle. That's what you do. National One Hit Wonder Day.
So, oh, okay.
When people have their one hit, You know, like.
And then what happened to him?
And then no more hits. That's it. But still, one hit wonder, still worth a lot of money. I just want to get the truth. Today is National Lobster Day, not being one, but eating one. So that's better than being one, I think. National Comic Book Day, which I love comic books, but not the new ones. I love the old ones from the 60s and 70s because those were more fun. And, you know, just simple stuff like that. Also, today is Love Note Day. So if you have somebody you love, send them a note. It takes about 25 seconds, a pen or a piece of paper, magic marker. Just say, I love you. Boom, done.
Can you send a doodle and a love note and then cross both of those off for today, since it's Doodle Day and Love Note Day?
You can, and if you do it well and the person receives it well, you have become a one-hit wonder. So see.
There you go.
See how that would work? Okay, there you go. All right. For those that are interested in this, and I don't know how I'm going to really say this without laughing, but 1965, on this day, the Beatles cartoon debuted. Yeah. But then also in 1970, this day, the Partridge Family aired. So, you know, that's equal. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, bye. All right. Yes, leave bye. That. Bye. All right. I'll see you at the end of the show, Jen. Okay, bye. Okay, here we go. All right, back to Job. And we are at verse 22. We're just going to run it from 22 to 29. Look, God is all-powerful. Who is able to teach like him? No one can tell him what to do. No one can say to him, you've done wrong. Instead, glorify his mighty works, singing songs of praise. Everybody has seen these things, but only from a distance. Look, God is exalted beyond what we can understand. His years are without number. He draws up the water vapor and then distills it into rain. The rain pours down from the clouds, and everyone benefits from it. Can anyone really understand the spreading of the clouds and the thunder that rolls forth from heaven? So I'll just answer that question right there with a very specific biblical and truthful reference today. I was told in the last 9 days it was going to rain 5 out of those 9 days, and it rained for 5 minutes out of those 9 days. So apparently nobody can really tell about the spreading of the clouds. Okay, so I don't care what anybody says. They can't, I don't care what they come up, wrong. Okay, my backyard is proof they are not telling the truth. Okay, I don't want to hear another. Those crevices in my backyard, it's just ridiculous, right? Okay, and then the water bill, we won't talk about that. 3 times as much as we've taken in the ministry. Don't want to talk about it. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. God is all-powerful. Now, we know he's omniscient. We know he's all-powerful. Can God create a rock that he can't lift? No, because he's all-powerful. So that just answers that question. Who is a teacher like him? That's what I want you to catch. Right? He's bigger than everybody else, wiser than everybody else. I just, you know, people freak out. It's like I say, well, do you believe in alien beings? Yes. So there couldn't be one that's bigger than all the rest, smarter than all the rest, been around for longer than all the rest? Well, maybe. Okay. So just put that argument to the side for a second. Nobody can teach you the way that God teaches you. Now, what do I mean by that? For those that are prone to be BFN people in the Bible, which is a big fat nose, in the Bible, you'll read something and it jumps out at you. And either something from your past or something you're going through presently or something just speaks to you and resonates with you. And the Holy Spirit just affirms it in your mind, in your heart. You know it's true. You know you can't. You're just like, wow, that's just amazing. That's one of the ways that God teaches you. Here's another way that God teaches you. Totally discouraged, totally down, totally defeated. And the presence of God sweeps on you, and for whatever unknown reason, you have a sense of peace in the middle of chaos. That's how God teaches you. How about when somebody says something, and it's the exact phrase and word and way it needs to be said to you, they don't even know they're really saying this deep level to you, but it's being used to help you and change you and alter you. God teaches in so many fascinating ways. How about times where you do go outside and you do look up and you do recognize, okay, there's something bigger than me going on here?
when Noelle and I were living in San Diego, and we had this, I mean, we were living in these, rented this condo, and they had just chopped down this tree, which I don't know why they chopped it down. Oh, listen, they chopped it down, and it gave us a 3.5 mile panoramic view of the ocean. You just couldn't believe it. It's just, I mean, I took 1,000 pictures, right? But you'd sit out on that balcony and you'd just look and go, yeah, whatever. You already know. It's so past man. It's like, that's God teaching. Or you look up at the sky and you go, no way. Accident? Oh, come on. Or how about when nobody's loving you and you know the love? And it's just like, it's cool. When it shouldn't be cool. All those are ways that God teaches you. How about at nighttime when you're sleeping and you have a dream? And it's not just one of those taco dreams, which everybody has. It's a dream that you know you're learning something. And wait. And you wake up and remember it. And it teaches you something. Hey, funny. That's in Job 39. Huh. How about all of those ways that God teaches you and tells you he loves you? What Elihu says to Job is, of all the stuff you're coming through and all the stuff you're saying, Job, and all the righteousness you've done and all the good stuff and all the bad stuff and all this up and down, blah, 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 blah. How about the way that God teaches you that he loves you? How about that? How about you put that up and step back and stop complaining and stop telling God he's doing a lousy job? Now, if I'm with Job, you just know. Okay, first of all, I could be Job in those situations. But if I'm with Job, you know you're just going to go, yeah, yeah, see? Because you know it's true. It's like, yeah, the Lord does that a lot. Why? Because he loves us. Not because we're brilliant, not because we're worthy, but because he loves us. So say amen and be thankful for it, okay? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.